Welcome to the One God Report podcast. This is Bill Schlegel. The topic of this episode is first an update for finding one place in the Bible where the word God means the triune being. And then secondly, I'm going to express a complaint. But first an update on the previous podcast where I discussed 1,315 reasons that the God of the Bible is not a Trinity. And that's because the word God in the New Testament never means the Trinity. And I put out a challenge. Anybody who can find an occurrence of the word God in the New Testament where it means that triune being, I'll send them $100. Well, nobody's cashed in on that challenge yet. So I'm going to up the ante. I'm going to make it $200. If anybody can find a occurrence of the word God, Theos, in the New Testament, where it represents or stands for the triune being. And remember, the Trinity is the one being that is God, that eternally coexists in three co-equal and co-eternal persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word God has to be that one being of three persons. So if you can find one, please, you can collect $200 now. Maybe a pastor. Maybe you could ask a pastor if he could find one. That should be easy money for your church. And also, you're not going to be able to cash in on just a place that you think that the word God means the triune being, because you have to have a good reason for it. Because remember Murray Harris, this scholar who looked at all the occurrences of the word God in the New Testament, he writes in his book, Jesus as God, quote, "It would be inappropriate for Elohim or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the personal name of God, ever to refer to the Trinity in the Old Testament, when in the New Testament, Theos, that's God, when in the New Testament, Theos regularly refers to the Father alone and apparently never to the Trinity," unquote. So that's what you have to find. You've got to show where the word God means the Trinity. The biblical scholar Murray Harris, who examined the 1,315 times that the word God occurred, couldn't come up with one reference where God means the triune being. But maybe your pastor or maybe some PhDs in theology, teachers in seminaries, you can find that. Now, one person did actually kind of respond, I guess, a member of the One God Report Facebook group, talked to a Trinitarian pastor that he knows, and the pastor said, well, what about Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, where Jesus said, "You can't serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," unquote. So the Trinitarian pastor suggested that here, this could be a reference of where God, Theos, means the tri-personal being. First of all, I wonder why a person like Murray Harris would have missed that one. But secondly, come on, let's look at context here a little bit. The first time in the Sermon on the Mount, which this statement in Matthew 6 is part of, where Jesus says the word God in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, "Do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool." Okay, so here the first occurrence of God in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus refers to God in the third personal singular, his. The earth is his footstool. Now, if you believe that God is a triune being in the Sermon on the Mount, then Jesus should have said, "For the earth is their footstool."
Actually, from the deity of Christ perspective, Jesus should have said, "For the earth is our footstool."
Let's not get our pronouns confused. If God is tri-personal, if he's three persons, then God is them or they, their. The earth is their footstool. So clearly, Jesus considered God to be a singular individual. The earth is his footstool. And then in addition to that, constantly, some 15 times, Jesus refers to God as the Father in the Sermon on the Mount. "Do things in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you."
pray to your Father who is in secret. And as a matter of fact, he says, when you pray, pray like this: Our Trinity, who art in heaven, hallowed be your all's name. Your all's kingdom come. Okay, I'm being facetious again, but come on. The Father is God, one individual person. Pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your singular name, your singular kingdom come, etc. So constantly Jesus is referring to God as the Father in the Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, in the next section, right after he said, you cannot serve God and mammon, in the next occurrence of the Heavenly Father and God in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 6, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And then he talks about Solomon, how Solomon was not clothed as the flowers of the field. And then Jesus says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he, singular, not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? See, Jesus considers God to be the Father in the Sermon on the Mount. So no, I'm not going to send my friend's Trinitarian pastor the $100. You'll have to look further. And you know what? So I would challenge back the Trinitarian pastor who suggested that Matthew 6:24 reference to God means the triune being. What made him suggest this? Could it be simply presupposition? Eisegesis? Are you bringing a presupposed idea of a tri-personal God to the text? If this pastor is wrong, should he repent? Is he suggesting the Father is not the one true God? Is he suggesting that the God in this passage whom we should serve is something other than the God that Jesus believed in? If God in the Sermon on the Mount is the Father alone, to suggest that God in Matthew 6:24 is not the Father alone is idolatry. Wouldn't the Sermon on the Mount have been a great place for Jesus to explain the tri-personal God? You mean Jesus couldn't do what Christian theologians have done for the past hundreds of years, saying, I am God, the Father is God, the Spirit is God, we are one God? Come on, this is the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching great truths about who God is and how we should relate to God. Is God in the Sermon on the Mount only the Father? Am I right? If I'm right, perhaps that Trinitarian pastor suggesting that an occurrence of the word God is a triune being needs to repent. And that's the same for anybody else. Come on, go ahead, find a reference of God in the Bible where it represents the triune being. But if you're going to make that suggestion, you should really be sure. You better have good evidences of that, because if you're suggesting that that occurrence of God is a triune being and not the Father, you're dishonoring the Father. You're trying to replace him with someone or something that is not God. So go ahead, find that reference. You got $200 waiting for you. Where does God in the New Testament mean that triune being? And then I'm offering $200 to anybody who can find the phrase God the Son in the New Testament. Easy $200. Any biblical reference where there's God the Son in the New Testament, I'll send you $200. And also another $200 for anybody who can find a description of Jesus being fully God and fully man. Any verse in the New Testament that describes Jesus as having these two natures, a divine nature and a human nature, and that he's fully God and fully man, or if you prefer, truly God and truly man. Any scriptural reference, that's $200. So you can clean up on $600 with three verses from the scripture. This should be easy to find in the scripture. I looked at some of the doctrinal statements of seminaries and other Christian organizations. For instance, I'm interested in what goes on in Israel. And I looked at the statement of faith of the One for Israel organization. And these doctrinal statements usually the first and second, maybe sometimes the third statement. They'll talk about God being one God in three persons. And then the next statement will be that the Bible, consisting of the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, is the believer's sole authority in all matters of faith and practice. Okay, so if the Bible is the believer's sole authority, the only authority in all matters of faith and practice, then it should be very, very simple to find one verse that describes God as three persons in one being, or one verse where the word God means that three-personed being, or one verse that describes God the Son, or one verse that describes Jesus being fully God and fully man, a two-natured being. And One for Israel is not alone in this kind of a statement about the Bible being the believer's sole authority in all matters of faith and practice. The statement of faith of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, which I think is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, seminary in the United States of America. The first article is, quote, "The scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God and are the only sufficient, certain, and authoritative rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience," unquote. And then the next two statements discuss the one God who's made up of three different persons. So if the scriptures are the believer's only authority in all matters of faith and practice, come on, let's go to the scriptures and find these very simple declarative truths that God is three persons in one being and that the word God means a triune being. Should be easy. And now the second topic I wanted to present in this podcast is a complaint. Actually, a complaint to the God of the Bible, to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, who revealed himself to the nation of Israel. Somewhat in the spirit of David, for example, who was in a cave hiding from his enemies, and he wrote, "Koli el Adonai ezak, koli el Adonai itchanan, ishpoch lefanav sichi." I cry with my voice to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. With my voice I make supplication to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. I pour out my complaint before him. So the word complaint there is what I'm talking about now. It can have the idea of thoughts and musings. And here is my thought. Here is my complaint before Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, please, where are the 7,000 in Israel? 7,000. That believe in you and in your anointed Messiah, Yeshua. So, come on, you need to get to work. Where is the testimony coming from the land of Israel? Your prophet declared that out of Zion shall go forth the teaching, and your word from Jerusalem. Where is it? Please raise up for yourself a testimony, a light, in the land of Israel, of Jews, of Israelis, that know you and your son Jesus, that can teach us Gentiles who are here in the uttermost parts of the earth. Yes, we know you will send the Messiah and that times of refreshing will come. But until then, can't you raise up for us dedicated teachers from the land of Israel? We ask that you work in this generation now, the young people now. Bring some to you so they'll know who you are. Where are your former acts of mercy, Aye Chasadecha Rishonim Adonai, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, Adonai, the reproach of your servants, how they've borne the reproach of many and mighty peoples, and how your enemies have reproached you, have reproached the footsteps of your Messiah. They've insulted you and they've insulted your Messiah, the man Christ Jesus from Nazareth. Raise up a remnant, we ask, in the city of Jerusalem, in the country of Israel, that can be a light to the truth. I know there are some, but they're very few. I don't think there's any 7,000. Our situation is worse than was in Israel in the days of Elijah, and we don't have an Elijah to direct us. So please act in the hearts and minds of these people in Israel. I remember some 5 years ago when I first came back to the States after living in Israel for some 34 years. And I listened to One God believers that I was just meeting, and they were talking about all these topics that the deity of Christ and Trinitarian theologians have put forward. The Father and the Son are the same substance, the Son being eternally begotten from the Father. All these different claims about God and Jesus that the Bible never makes. One member of a three-personed Godhead took on a human nature and died. God died. All this strange Gentile philosophy. And I couldn't help but think to myself, we need the Jews. The one God-believing movement needs the Jews. Without a strong Jewish presence, and I'm not talking about the one for Israel kind of people who think that, listen to this, here's their statement about God. The Lord God, Yudhe Vavhe, the Lord is one. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the only God and creator. There is none beside him. All the attributes of God are his alone. His. You see how they refer to God in the third person masculine singular. There is none beside him. That's absolutely correct. All the attributes of God are his. But then they go into this silly liberal myth idea that his unique unity consists of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each eternally and fully God. Now, folks, I don't need to accept your preferred pronoun insanity. If there are three persons, then they are they, their unique unity. If you believe God is three persons, quit calling God he or him. This pronoun confusion of traditional Christianity is not a biblical proclamation. I don't accept your preferred pronouns. I don't need to live in your fantasy. This they are he pronoun confusion is some Gentile gobbledygook. It's not a testimony of the one true God, whom Jesus said is the Father alone. Yes, there are a few true one God believers in the land of Israel who also believe that the man Jesus from Nazareth is God's Messiah. But they're very few. We need God to raise up Israeli Jewish testimony. So let me ask other one God believers listening to this podcast to pray to Yudhe Vavhe that he will work in the hearts and minds of Israelis now, and that he would raise a beacon of light that emanates from the city of Jerusalem and the country of Israel. Yishma'u navim v'yismachu. The humble will hear and rejoice.